You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Welcome to the Sight Cabin Podcast, Season 2!
Hey,
that was a bit...
A bit coffee, sort of coffee.
Not practiced. Season 2, so I've been debating about this, because it is Season 2, and we're going to do another 10 episodes,
yeah.
But I've been debating whether or not to sort of go... Episode 11 or Season 2, Episode 1?
Do both.
I can't keep up. Like, I won't be able to keep
up
with that.
Do another intro now while we're filming.
No, fuck that. So it's Season 2. Is it Episode 1 or Episode 11?
Episode 1.
Episode 1, Season 2.
I don't know, because other podcasts, when they release a new series, they follow the number on.
So they just go Episode 11? Yeah. So do you think that's what we should do?
Yeah, I've seen quite a few, and they do like Episode 290. What's that Joe Rogan guy? He's got loads.
Yeah, just the biggest podcast in the world. Joe Rogan.
I've never watched him.
Yeah. You've never watched Joe Rogan? Oh, Danny, you've got to. He's brilliant. So good.
He
has some amazing guests on.
Yeah.
Talking of guests, where's Jacob? Jacob, where are you?
He's left us, hasn't he?
Well, he's not really left
no,
us.
He's basically
gone into the back room. And he's not been able to commit to the episodes this year. So just want to say thank you very much, Jacob, for all your work and effort with the podcast last year. Absolutely amazing. It wouldn't be where it is today without you. So thank you, Jay.
Yeah, brilliant, Jacob.
Honestly, yeah, thank you very much.
I'm missing him, to be honest.
Are you missing him?
Because you were like there, but me and Jacob were here.
Yeah, yeah. So today we invited Andy and Mike. Yeah. They both were on the podcast last year.
Yeah.
So we invited Andy and Mike back. We're sort of in negotiations with them currently as to whether they might appear in future episodes of the pod.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to get more guests on as well, aren't we?
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with just Andy and Mike.
They're a bit samey, though.
A bit samey, yeah.
They're in yellow.
Yeah, we've gone with the black and the yellow today.
Like Bradley Wiggins and Chris Froome.
Who is the most successful of the two?
What, out of the cyclists?
Yeah, Bradley
Wiggins. Well, Chris Froome, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Bradley for gold medals, though, isn't it?
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, because Brad won more, Olympic medals. Well,
Who'd be the better construction worker, Bradley Wiggins or Chris Froome?
I'd say Bradley Wiggins.
No,
do you reckon?
That Scottish bloke, what was he called?
Ahoy.
Chris Hoy. He'd be a good odd carrier.
He would be a brilliant labourer. His legs are like tree trunks, aren't they?
He'd be up and down the ladder.
Two odds at a time.
Oh my God, he would be an unbelievable.
Talking of trees,
we've got a tree in the studio today. Thank you to Pi Radio for providing the flora.
Yeah.
I quite like it actually.
Yeah,
it gives a bit of a.
Is it real?
I think
the only thing I'd say, if this was in an actual site cabin, they'd be pissing in it.
They'd be weeing in it, and there'd be cigarette dimps in it, 100%. There'd be cigarette dimps in it. Yeah. I think there'd be leaves pulled off it as well.
Yeah, they'd be all like fidgeting and.
Yeah, picking at it. Yeah.
Going to ask the joiner now. Joiner, what wood would that be? What timber would that? Would it be hardwood, softwood?
Softwood.
Softwood. Yeah. So like.
I think it's plastic.
Yeah. I think it is plastic.
It all burns.
Yeah, it does.
Plastic. Yeah,
it don't clog up your flue.
Yeah, it does all burn. It does all burn. But yeah, so we've got a bit of flora in this studio today. Yeah. So, sort of moving on. Onto what we're going to be talking about today. Well, loads of different things we're going to be talking about, loads of different things that have gone on since we were last here. So we're now in March, just the end of March, and we were last here in Shit, December. This is the December one.
The Christmas episode.
By the way, we did the Christmas episode. I know you guys were there as well in the audience. Mm. My favourite comment from the Christmas episode was when we released the Christmas episode. Somebody on TikTok put, were you in a fucking old people's home when you filmed this? And it's because... But it's because Roy and Gwen and my mum and dad were in the front row.
Brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant.
So it was the best comment. It was a beautiful comment. And if you're watching, whoever made that comment, if you comment again,
let's give them something.
If you message us back, we might be able to send you something for free. It was beautiful. I can't remember who it was, to be honest.
That was brilliant.
It was like, did you film it in an old people's home?
Yeah.
Which obviously we didn't, but, we just invited mum and dad and aunties there, didn't we, basically? Yeah, but so... Andy, Mike, welcome to the podcast again. Thank you for coming. Right. Appreciate it. Today's episode, we thought we'd start with like working with family. Yeah. So, but before we sort of go into that, Danny, how are you? What have you been up to? Are you gonna?
Well, what's they been up to?
Do you want me to ask them, guys?
Go on. What have you been
since you last appeared on the pod? Anything interesting happened in your lives?
Work-wise.
Anything. We can talk about whatever we want.
Well, I'm on a new building site.
Are you on the same site that you were on last time?
Same site, yeah.
Yeah, still on there.
I've been on there for
going all right, Mike.
Seven years now.
Yeah, I mean that's unheard of. You're on a site for that long.
Yeah, it's a massive site though. It's an old airfield. One of the big house builders.
I did my work experience on that when it was an air. You know,
did you?
Yeah, factory.
You worked
at BAE.
Yeah, BAE, we'll say the exact place, but I did my work experience there when I was 16.
Woodford. Yeah, you can say it's Woodford. It's Woodford.
For a week.
Say Woodford.
Yeah. And it was brilliant. And they all used to like, they all had it figured out outright. You go to the toilet for an hour there. And honestly.
Day workitis.
Yeah, you have a sleep in the plane once a week for there for 2 hours. Yeah, they all figured out.
That's the difference, I think, between like employed people
and
self-employed people.
Oh, yeah.
Self-employed, you just head down, ass up, and off you go. You're working.
Well, when you're on a price, you have to, don't you?
Exactly.
You know, you have to earn your money, so you have to keep going all the time.
How long's left on that site, Mike?
Well, I think up to now we've built. I'm on plot 5-8. What am I on? 500 and something at the plot I'm on.
Right.
Well, 2 hours at the moment. I think there's 900 and odd. So.
Wow.
Yes,
yeah, and you've been on there 7 years.
Yeah, I think it'll go on for over 10 years. Definitely.
Jesus Christ!
They are stepping up the pace though, which is mad because when you think of the current situation with the economy and stuff, you think
our houses are still selling. Houses,
totally.
Are they still being bought there?
But the site I'm on, you know, the big houses, like the 2 houses I'm building at the moment, they're like £1 million each.
Yeah. Which, I mean, for Cheshire,
it's just normal.
It's that sort of average, I suppose, certainly where you're close to Wilmslow, you're close to Hale.
There is starter homes,
elderly,
which are like 400, 450.
I mean, 400 grand for a starter home.
Semi or whatever. There's some 4 blocks and stuff.
How many 25, so, 26, 27 year olds you know has got like 10%, 40 grand
exactly
for a 10% mortgage?
Crazy. I mean, a lot of them, I reckon, who are buying them are maybe, I don't know if they've like been given money from the
banker mum and dad.
Yeah, the banker mum and dad and stuff like that. And, you know, the middle class.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the location of where that site is, that's probably why.
Been good for me. Yeah. It's kept me going and kept me in work and all that. But, you know, I think situation with like normal working class people.
Yeah,
it's hard to get on the market.
How are you going to get on the market?
You know, if you're on,
you're absolutely
20
right.
grand. Both on 20 grand, maybe if you meet someone, you know, it's difficult, isn't it?
What's the average salary in the UK? Do we know?
Is it 35?
Is it 30? It's around mid 30s. Is it? Is it mid 30s?
33.
I think that's taking into account like the top.
Well, it's the average,
Is it called is it not the median?
The mean.
When our dad, he had a mortgage at 18.
Yeah, he did.
What's his
Prentice Brittley, he could afford
the
to buy a house.
Building.
You can't afford the house you're building.
No.
I doubt it.
I couldn't, no. But I mean...
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance.
Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
That's how it's changed over the years, over the decades, over the last 40 years. It's just gone crazy.
It's gone crazy. It does need to calm down, doesn't it? I mean, it does because you know, youngsters are never going to be able to afford to get on the market. So and interest rates at the moment are what, 4 and a bit percent?
Yeah.
So if you're an apprentice, if you're an apprentice in construction right now, when can you realistically afford to buy your own house?
I'd say,
I know exactly.
On your own, they'd have to be on, to buy an house on their own, they'd have to be on 40, 50 grand. Even to be,
and at what point, I mean, but geographically it's different, but at what point is an apprentice at 16, 17 going to be able to, going to be on 40, 50 grand? It's probably not going to be till mid
20s.
Yeah, mid 20s?
Yeah. Earliest. Really going for it.
Yeah.
That's how it's changed, hasn't it, over the years.
Yeah.
You know, well, compared to our dad. Mm. He managed to buy an house when he was 18.
Mm.
Mum, you know, she was part-time and all that, but what I mean is she wasn't like in a full-time job, you know, she wasn't like a qualified nurse or anything like that or whatever, you know, like she, you know, she became.
I mean, it's worth mentioning at this point, we've never really talked about this, but we are all brothers.
Yes.
Well, we think we are.
Well, we assume we're brothers, There's a possibility that one could be the milkman's, we don't know. We think it's one of them two, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, but no, we are all brothers.
Yeah.
We haven't done DNA, but we you know, how do you know who your mama is? How do you know who your papa is? Because your mama told you. It's out of JFK if you ever want to know what that lines out. But we are all brothers, we are all in construction. I'm just conscious, Andy, we didn't go to you. What have you been up to since the last time we were on the pod?
Started a new job.
Nice, enjoying it.
Yeah, it's great. I used to do a lot of travelling last year, and I started sick of it.
Bollocks to the travelling.
Yeah, and it's a lot. It's local, and it's like more in a joinery workshop.
Nice, nice.
It's really good.
Do you still have access to wood for the log burner? Oh, that's the most important thing.
I have a log burner. Well, actually, we all have log burners, actually, don't we?
Andy doesn't have one.
I've got two now.
Danny, two log burners.
I've got kindling as well as good logs.
So you've got kindling and logs.
Yes, right. Really good kindling.
Interesting. Yeah. Danny, we'll come to you then. So two log burners. What's
Yeah, well, I moved out last year.
Yeah, you did say that about three times on the pod last year. So everyone knows you moved house.
Got two log burners now. See, you sound like you've had positive starts to the year. Would you say new job?
Yeah,
you know, it's going well.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's all right. Dave.
Well, you enjoying it?
Hard
work. You got a lot on this year.
There's a lot going on in my life this year. I'm getting married, which I'll probably talk about a few times in the pod. Yeah.
Stag.
Budapest. It's booked. Stag. We're all going to Budapest.
Yeah.
We might even do a couple of lives from Budapest.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We'll do that.
We'll do
sight to a lamppost.
Sight cabin. Oh, don't. I can't be arsed with all that shit. Yeah. I'm 46. I don't want gold hot pants and all that fuck.
What, like Danny Moore?
Yeah, exactly. In Prague. Yeah. I just want a good chat. Good discussion. Sides. But yeah, it's all going well. It's a lot going on. But the rest of us all. But what were you going to say, Danny?
This is my start to January.
Right, go on. Give us your start.
So start New Year's Eve. I was naked. Right,
and what time New Year's Eve was you naked?
11 o'clock at night.
So you took all your clothes off.
Fully naked, and I thought, you know what? I am gonna smash 2023.
Right. Why was you naked though, Dan?
I'd had a few glasses of port. The wife wasn't very well, so she went to bed. Everyone was ill at Christmas, weren't they?
Right.
Everyone was
ill. Yeah, well, just to put the context out there, we were going to this thing keeps moving a little bit. Sorry, the sign. We were going to have a party at my house, but we had to cancel it because. My partner was ill as well. Yeah. So sorry. Go on.
So, and then I thought, right, I'm going to weigh myself. I wrote myself goals in my diary. Right.
So you were naked to weigh yourself.
I got myself a diary prior for 2023 diary. Got it all ready. Wrote down goals. Got drunk. Weighed myself. completely stripped off and wrote down my weight. Right. And I thought I'm gonna beat 2023.
New Year's resolutions and everything.
And right. Right.
And then it started with Jacob said,
I can't commit to the pod anymore.
Which is fair enough. Right? And I thought, you know, it's the same. I started my diet and then I was starving all the time. And it's the world's worst diet.
Which I've got to say, it is going well. You do look a little
going
bit trimmer.
Well, but don't do this diet. It's basically.
What diet is it?
Don't eat.
So that's it.
That's like a
healthy, Danny. That's like a.
No, it's a proof. Like, everyone always says...
Don't eat diet.
And you know what? Everyone always says, oh, you know, when you start eating healthy and you're on diets, you feel better in your head. You fucking don't. It's bullshit. Yeah.
Just watch the sign there, Danny. Yeah. Just move forward a little bit.
You feel worse. Yeah, but Danny, fucking starving all the time.
Because you're not happy, that's why. Yeah, right. Because you're missing your food.
And then, do you keep going to the fridge and opening it and, like, longingly looking at food and
thinking... working. I've lost a bit of weight, I see. And
you then, have lost a bit of weight. You have. You know,
My heart rate's down.
That's good.
I've got a watch.
Yeah, I've noticed you've got an Apple Watch as well. Yeah.
Become obsessed with his
Are you counting your steps?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on a lot.
Oh, Christ.
Right. But then I left my job. Right.
Right.
Left my job because I'd had enough.
Yeah. And fair enough. And how's that worked out? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know yet.
Yeah. 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 Well, fair. Right. Early days. Fair enough.
I had an incident in a van. $7,000 worth of damage.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Right, yeah. Can you just tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I was going into a tunnel near my house. I had right away. I had to swerve to the left. The car was coming at me, and I hit the top of
it. So it was one of them bridges where you've got to stay in the centre.
So I was already in the centre. Yeah, and somebody came in and tried to swerve around me.
See, that small one, there.
So you balls the van up. Balls cost you $7,000,
which none of you know this.
Hayfield,
right? Two weeks ago, I got home. And the kitchen ceiling was leaking, and all the kitchen ceilings come down.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah. You never told us about that.
Yeah, so I had to repair it all.
Right.
Right. And then top it off. Dad's got cancer.
Well, yeah, Dad has got cancer. So that has been like absolute...
That's my 2023 year.
Yeah.
That's been an absolute nightmare. Yeah. So that's kind of... In a sense, it's what's inspired us to do this podcast today.
And why we
invited Andy and Mike on is also... It's not necessarily all about Dad, but our dad has unfortunately been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's got stage four.
Yeah.
It's esophageal cancer. And to give everyone, listeners and viewers, a bit of context again, our dad has worked in construction all his life. He was a bricklayer from being 14, right the way through to 66, which is he is now. And he got diagnosed with cancer about how long ago now?
A few weeks, was it? A month or so.
End of January.
So
still fucking laying though.
Still working.
Still fucking laying.
Not working like every day.
No, we still did a bit.
No, we were all working together on Saturday on my sister's.
Yeah. We all worked together, all of us, didn't we? On Kate's house, on our sister's house. Yes, there is another one of us. There's five of us.
She's not in construction.
No, she's in a different trade. Yeah. But we sort of got together and we thought, you know what, let's do a podcast about
working with family
and working maybe with Dad.
Yeah.
So it's been you've not smashed 2023 at all then?
No, it's smashed me.
It's 2023 has smashed you.
Yeah.
And still a pit. What room were you in when you were naked?
I was in the back room.
Right. Could the neighbours see you or anything, like, though? You know, because it's New Year's Eve,
curtains in your house at the moment. You just moved, haven't you?
Well, you've got it's quite a big house. So, no, it's not. I was in. The thing is, I put it down in the kit.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast tennis ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Put the scales down in the kitchen floor, but then the tiles were even, so it didn't work properly. Then I put it in the wooden floor, then that didn't work even. And then...
You need a solid floor. You
need a solid floor for the scales.
But can I just say something?
You do.
Boxer shorts wouldn't have made that much difference if you'd have kept them on.
But it's true weight.
Yeah, but surely your true weight would still be with boxer shorts on.
Nothing. I even noticed the difference.
Are you going to share your weight or are you not going to share it? Are you not going to share it?
16 stone 4.
That's how much you were?
That's how much it was.
So how much are you now?
15.6.
Oh, Danny, you've done really well.
But I was down to 15.2.
Right.
And then, that's a stone. That's
so you've done amazing. You've done amazing. Yeah. So you're no longer the fattest brother. I think I'm the fattest brother now.
Fat.
Because Mike and Andy are kind of like
Mike's like a word,
sort of teenage girls in the very light, and they don't weigh that much at all. And this
like Philadelphia,
a bit like Philadelphia, a bit like they've got like some sort of terminal illness, yeah. Which ironically our dad has.
I wish I'd have got into cycling when I was a teenager. I totally do because I think
that helped with the weight.
Physique-wise, I reckon I could have done it.
Yeah, yeah,
I really
yeah,
do.
Probably
a
climber.
Yeah,
I do. Talking about talking about working with family and dad. So anything's been to mind, anything that you've working with dad, any kind of memories that you might have of, because we've all worked with him. I mean, I'll tell you mine. So you all know this, but for everybody else, I left school at 16. Dad said, he came with me to pick the GCSE results up at Tarrytown School in Romley. And my mum and dad drove us in the new Ford Fiesta, which was an F range. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's 30 years
ago. We once got all seven of us in that Fiesta.
Yeah, we did. We all once went,
in it. It was my mum and dad in the front. There was three, and then two of us in the boot. Three in the back, two in the boot.
Yeah. And so I was in the Fiesta and went in, got my GCSE results, came back out. And I can remember my dad looking over the seat at me in the back and going, How are they? And I just went, showed it him. I showed it him like that, and he just went, well, you're coming to work with me on Monday the night, yeah? And that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my life decided for me, my working life decided for me. And not a bad thing
in the end.
I always say it was probably, I won't say it was the best and worst, it was the best decision that was ever made for me.
Yeah,
but it also created difficulties for me with mine and my dad's relationship.
Yeah, going forward,
don't get me wrong. I have a brilliant relationship with my dad now, and it's wonderful. Yeah. Love working with him, but it was difficult. There was a period of my life working with dad, which was very difficult. Which you know, I'm sort of happy to share. So, and then I worked with him from being 16. I think it was 9 years, so 8 or 9 years solid through to about 25, 24, 25. Yeah. Maybe even a bit longer than that. I mean, I've worked with him a bit longer. But it might have been a bit longer, yeah. Then you started working with us, Mike, didn't you?
I did. Well, I later on, when I was about 20, yeah, I started labouring with you at first and all that. Because I went working abroad and all that.
Yeah, you went to Malia, didn't you?
Yeah, I was, you know.
Lucky bastard.
In bars and all that, yeah. And then, I've done other things before. But yeah, started construction late, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was 20.
Yeah.
And then I did my Brit Lane qualifications after.
Exactly.
And then I was working with my dad and my brother. So working with my family, myself.
Yeah.
And I saw a few rows between my brother and my dad.
I can remember.
I did it occasionally, but I think you and dad clashed a little.
We clashed a lot. I think it was more when I qualified. I was a qualified bricklayer.
Yeah.
And the arguments came when I was qualified and he continued to check my work and stuff.
Yeah, well, which I get. I know you, but.
But I was like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. Leave it alone. You know,
it's a trust thing because I work with my nephew now.
You do. So that's working with family.
One of these son. Yeah. He's
Harry. It's Harry, yeah.
Yeah. And.
He's qualified.
I get that because obviously he's qualified now, but it's like a trust thing. And then when they continue making mistakes and you see it, which they do, it takes long. Let's have it right. An apprenticeship that takes longer than three bleeds.
Well, you can qualify in 3.5-4 years.
Qualify in 3 years. It's the same as more time. Driving. It's like you pass your driving test.
Yeah.
And you learn to drive afterwards.
Of course you do.
So it's the same sort of thing with, like, you know, having a trade.
Yeah.
You know, you qualify and all that and everything, but it takes years and years and years and years to get properly. Yeah.
I mean, it's cliche.
Confident and all that.
You don't ever really stop learning. You don't. No, you genuinely don't. You genuinely don't. But going back.
Going back to dad
when we started, when I started with him, you know, it was a really sort of tough period economically in the world as well, and then we kind of we started to come out of that in the country, the UK.
How many recessions have you been through, Dave?
Well, two horrendous recessions, and I would say the 2008 one was far worse than the 90s one, far worse. The 2008 one was horrendous, but But like, I have weird memories. Like,
but a lot of stress on dad as well,
because he's paying for his son's salary.
Yeah,
and I buy a house. Yeah. I meet a girl. I have kids, and then he's paying. Yeah. He's now not just my dad. He's my employer
yeah.
as well, and it's like that brings all the different types of dynamics of like stress and everything. I was going to say there was one argument at Persimmon Homes where he I can't remember what happened. We were talking to one of the stacker drivers, and he threw a trowel, and I threw the trowel back at him.
Yeah, I think we were talking to and he was just stressed. We need to get on. And
but happens, the age I'm at it now, happens. And
yeah,
I understand it.
Yeah, you do.
I understand it. I don't think you maybe quite. I didn't perhaps you quite did as when I was younger, but you do understand it. And it wasn't just arguments.
I definitely have since I've employed like my nephew. Say
yeah.
So like at the time, you know, me and you might have said, "Oh, fucking moaning again."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fucking hell, what's going on? But then. You look at it from another angle when you know, like later on in life, and like you know, I see any mate, you know, they do anyway. You know, they make mistakes, you know, they learn from it, but it annoys you. You can't help it.
Yeah.
So as when you're the older generation,
yeah,
you get really annoyed with the younger ones, and especially when they're pissing around or they're dead. Even when you have a go at them, and the next minute they're happy, and you're still worked up about it, and you're like, little bastard.
Do you think, though, if you weren't as close with that, would you shout at them, or would you have a go at them?
You mean if they weren't, like, family-related? Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a totally different dynamic, because I've got a few apprentices who, obviously, I'm not related to, and I've noticed with them that, if I say do something or you know, ask them to do, they're a bit more. But whereas with I think when it's with family, because they know you so well, I think they like tutting a bit more. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which then in turn gets you more wound up.
And then it gets you worked up.
Yeah.
But you feel you can probably react. You can probably say what you want to them.
Yeah, you do. And then you end up, basically what I'm saying is you end up arguing more when you work with your family than you do with other people. That's in my experience.
Just going back, it's not all about me, I know that, but just going back, because I think I was the first one to sort of really work with dad out of the four of us. So I had a situation where I was working with him and I was living with him.
Yeah, that's hard.
So there's no even like...
For him as well.
Yeah, of course, for both. There's no escape from... It's just constant, if you know what I mean.
I know. Well, the first thing you learn in the morning is, David, are you up? Come on, it's work time. I know.
I remember one time.
Come on.
The night before, I had this genius idea.
We're going in 10 minutes.
I know what I'm going to do. And I took the bulb out of the... Because he used to come in and turn the light on in the bedroom and wake me up with just the light coming on. I was like, you bastard, you know. I took the bulb out.
That's good.
I took the bulb out. So he's there at the door, like, you know, tap, tap, tapping on the light switch when the bulb's not coming on. But that darkness just gives you that. Nobody likes getting up in the morning, do they? No matter what job. But you know, when you're in construction, you think,
it's freezing.
I've got to go out there now.
Raining, yeah.
I've got to go and do that now. But
yeah, because the start's always 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Always.
It's different to office. It's always been historically 8 till 4, right? 8 till 4.
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's a lot of construction now work even earlier than that. 7.
Yeah.
A lot of people
start at 7 now.
Traveling.
Yeah, they do. They try and miss the traffic even.
Which
more
I get.
So.
To be fair, they get to do 7 free.
Yeah.
I don't because I sometimes think you must go to bed before Emmerdale starts. Do you know what I mean? What's fucking wrong with you? Because you get these guys on site, don't you? They go, "Well, yeah, I've fucking been here since 6 o'clock this morning."
Oh,
you're
God,
like, "Well, you're a fucking knobhead, aren't you?
Having a brew, yeah, you're lazy
gone at 3.
They're all gone at three.
Yeah. Exactly.
Trust me. I usually do. I mean, the morning don't come till 8:15 anyway. So I usually do that.
What time do you go to bed at night?
Oh, I'm a midnight.
I'm a midnight.
Sometimes nowadays.
What about you, Dan?
Depends. If the log burner's on, that's it.
Oh, you sleep on the settee?
Red wine.
Sleeping tablet. Like
a couple of glasses of red wine, log burner, 9 o'clock, gone. I always, because I play COD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not very well, but he plays it.
And then
you fall asleep on
Danny, there's a sniper over there, and he's fucking up like that looking for the sniper. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
How about you? Are you late?
Oh, midnight. Always. Half 12. Half 12.
But
12, half 12.
I bet you have a brew late on, don't you, as well? Like,
I have a coffee, me. Oh, at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah,
no problem. Coffee doesn't affect me the way it affects everyone else.
That's I can't have coffee.
After about 9 o'clock.
You sound like a loaded...
Past 12 o'clock.
What's wrong with you all?
No, coffee, but yeah. Last brew about 9, 10 o'clock.
I will drink coffee comfortably at 11, 11.30 at night. Comfortably.
That's weird.
Comfortably.
So you're in bed staring up at your ceiling.
No, because it doesn't affect me that way. And then still go to sleep.
Do you have a bit of chocolate as well?
Oh, a bit. I have loads of chocolate. I got a text off the doctor the other day and it said, you are dangerously approaching... some sort of blood count for close to diabetes.
Oh, you need to be careful.
So, and I have got to be careful. I genuinely have because I've, and I got, my mum started having a go at me and Sarah started having a go at me and started saying, you're getting close to diabetic. And I was like, you're diabetic. I was like, I'm not diabetic. I'm close to being diabetic.
I only read it, but they reckon that eating past about 8 o'clock at night, really.
Yeah, I was reckoning 8 till 8.
Yeah.
The 8 till 8.
It's bad for after but we all do.
My favourite time is about 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and you have a,
you know, like you have like a load of cheese and crackers or something.
I'm going to get a fucking KFC after this. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've not had any tea tonight, but anyway. Yeah. But I mean, also, do you have, right, that's another thing with construction, because they start so early at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm never hungry in the morning. So I don't get up and like, some of these people, don't they? They get up and they have a breakfast before they leave work
that's
and all
me,
that.
I'm having that a bit.
Yeah, so no,
muesli. Porridge.
But I love my porridge in the morning.
Yeah, but I literally get up.
Eating sawdust.
It's not the morning.
The way I do it.
No. I get up, I literally have a piss, clean my teeth, put my clothes on,
and go
downstairs.
Have a vape, Mike. Have a quick. He has a big vape, a big drag of his vape.
Put the kettle on, do me flask. Cup of tea. I usually start with a cup of tea because I have
a coffee, surely.
No, but I have a flask of coffee all day. So, you know.
Throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah, I have a flask of coffee.
Giant flask or small flask?
Oh, no, I've got a big...
Metal?
I'm treating myself metal. to a proper metal. I've got a thermos.
Have you noticed, by the way, have you noticed how many flasks look like vibrators nowadays? Mike, I'm telling you, they're very phallic.
Never noticed.
There's a lot of phallic. There's a lot of phallic flasks out there, guys and girls.
I've got a story about Dad with a flask. Sorry.
Dad, actually. He always had shit flasks.
Yeah, he did. Right,
the glass.
Andy, go on.
Right,
go on.
The glass.
And he always fucking broke.
I've seen him. And he just fell off the back of the van and he went, oh. And he launched it over. I've seen that so many times.
Dad bought his flask from Stockport Market. That's where he got them
shit
from.
Ones, and
I got the metal ones.
Thing inside, lasts you know, forever.
The actual glass reflection inside.
Get the metal ones because they're another about 12, 15 quid, but they last forever.
They do.
Yeah, but
they're the ones that look like, well, they look like torpedoes.
They look like artillery shells.
Or penises.
Shells.
The inside of it.
You look at flasks. You go in a shop and look at a flask.
Oh, the metal one.
I just see a load of cocks, but you might. I don't know.
No, I don't see them.
Is that me?
Yeah, I think that's dirty-minded
Dave.
Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe that is just me.
But it's always plastic flasks. And it's like.
Yeah, he did.
You're on a site.
They are. They're those thermos ones.
And they just crack.
I mean, unless
they
want sponsors. Yeah, but they were only like a fiver or something, weren't they? Yeah. Whereas like the decent ones are 20, 25 quid.
Do you know what, though? I'll be honest. I think having a flask is weird these days. Just go to Costa.
Danny, it's a fortune for a coffee, mate. I need about 4 or 5 coffees in the day, not just one. Yeah.
So do you have a brew and then a brew on the scaffold?
Oh no, I have a brew while I'm working as well. But the thing is with me, I end up all the lads who work with, they think I'm mad. But like if it's 30 degrees heat, I'll still have a coffee.
You'll have a coffee,
even though it's boiling up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They'll all be drinking water or whatever, but I'll still have a flask of coffee.
A funny thing, I was once
have an extra water
doing a job. With Dad, a private job, we're working at a private house, and the chap came out to us and said, "Do you want a brew?" You know, asked us if we wanted a brew, and my dad answered for me, but he told the guy what I wanted, and I also remember it. I don't know why it bothered me, but because like now it wouldn't really bother me that much, but it bothered me. I was like,
when you're younger,
I want to tell that guy what I want. I want a coffee, but he was like, "Yeah, coffee, 2 sugars, and Dave will have a coffee, 2 sugars as well."
And you're like, "Well, yeah, I might want a tea.
I might want a tea, exactly." But I know it sounds ridiculous.
Or
it's like
or no sugar.
When you're younger,
does it matter?
Yeah,
Yeah. Does that matter?
I think it's when you're younger, you just want to express your own independence. Yeah.
Things like sandwiches as well. We'd make sandwiches before we'd go out in the morning. Often mum would make them, but often we'd have to make them as well. But there was never quite enough, I found.
Yeah.
There was always like one or two more missing. A couple of more like rounds of bread. Yeah. You know, it was like tuna mayonnaise or something. And we'll do is we'll share the lunch. Yeah. I was just like, I want my own lunch. Yeah. You have yours, and I'll have mine. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And he'd open a bag of crisps and he'd put that. I know it's all ridiculous stuff. I know it is.
It's when you're younger, I think.
But what I will say, you know, speaking specifically about Dad, is he made me into like a. Well, I don't want to speak like too like big headed, but like. I feel like a really good tradesman. He molded me and turned me into a tradesman.
Yeah.
I totally agree with him. What's the word I'm looking for, Andy?
He's conscientious tradesman.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com. For details.
Honest.
Dad's standards are up.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, because we work with other tradesmen.
Yeah, fucking
you. He's probably, honestly, I've worked with hundreds of bricklayers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have as well. Yeah. In my opinion, he is probably the best bricklayer, you know, for standard of work wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's the fastest or whatever, you know, because it's not all about that anyway, because there's loads of, like, dead fast bricklayers, and they just fucking wall everything up.
You throw it in, but then that wall's getting knocked down three weeks later. Yeah.
He's probably, standard of work, he's probably the best bricklayer I've ever worked with.
Yeah. I agree. I think
absolutely.
He is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, he is.
Do you, I realise me and Mike have talked a lot about, but I know you've, do you have any specific ones you want to share about?
I don't know. I mean, I started working. Well, we've all done this though. We've all like worked with him when we were kids.
We have.
We've all had like a few hours on a weekend helping him load up when we were like 12 or something. Yeah. We've all done that. I remember taking a chimney stack down with him once in someone's house, and he gave me a tenner. I thought, oh, I've got loaded. No, we were 11.
Brilliant.
Like, you know, I think it's when we had a Spectrum and I bought a game.
Yeah. That's a lot of money then.
It's not Christmas on my birthday. I could buy a computer.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, right, I'll do some. Yeah. But that's work ethic.
He used to do a lot of like.
Foreigners,
yeah, cashing and stuff, didn't it? When you know, like you know, he's obviously a big site.
But if anyone from the revenues watching it,
he always pays tax.
Always pays tax.
No, and then you know, after he'd go and do it like part time, you know, a bit of extra work.
Yeah,
and I remember when we were kids, we did all sorts of stuff. Like pointing a patio or something with it. Yeah, and I was only 12 or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you and Kate, and when you were like 10, loading up. I remember seeing that once.
Obviously,
you loved it. It was like all day.
You're all, you know, a bit older. And
Danny's the baby of the family.
What my memories are, like, we talked about the Fiesta before, and you said about getting seven people in it.
I didn't get a
cement mixer in it.
In a Ford Fiesta, easily.
You have to take the drum off, don't you? Yeah. The bell mix.
Yeah. You can, and it's angled, you can't get it.
Usually, we've done it loads of times.
A lot of time.
As we say, if it's a good car, can you get a mixer?
I think.
Yeah, full kitchen in it.
I know I drive you three mad. But I genuinely think I developed, across the UK, the actual technique of putting a bell mixer in a Ford Fiesta.
You've got to get on the angle.
The exact angle and how it works and how it goes. Because I can remember doing it, and I can remember Dad going,
once you unscrew the drum, though.
That's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant.
I've got a four-poster bed in an Aygo.
I've been with you. We built it with the passenger.
Four-poster bed.
No, that's an outdoor one. No, because I was in the back.
Yeah.
I made it all free. It just fit.
When we were younger, I suddenly remembered something then when we were younger. Because he was like a self-employed bricklayer. He never really had what you would call good cars. My mum had the good car.
Yeah.
And my dad had like a shitty one.
But that's the job.
Yellow Peril.
But he once bought this yellow Volkswagen. It was amazing.
But bright yellow.
But in the winter, it didn't start. And I can remember him. I mean, I'm talking like he's dead. He's not dead yet, by the way. He's not dead. He has been given a terminal diagnosis, but he's not dead. But I can remember him coming into our bedroom and going,
Right,
you've all got to get up and fucking push this car. And
push the car.
And they're like, oh, for fuck's sake, Dad.
Drive was like that. You have to push it off the back.
And we were like, it was a really steep drive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I can remember saying to him, even at like 13, why are you parking the car on the drive, Dad, if it breaks down every morning?
Didn't the brakes go? You have to put a brick on it.
We've had all sorts.
Oh, no, you used to leave a brick under the wheel.
The Red Fiesta, when you had the football on the Sundays, you used to push the Red Fiesta eventually off the
drive. And I remember thinking, I can remember being as far away from the house as about half a mile away, and the car still wouldn't start. And I was in my pyjamas pushing my dad's car to get to fucking work. And it's like, just get. But these are the struggles that you sort of go through, aren't they?
I've got a great story actually.
Say it
about
if you're comfortable saying it. Say it.
Oh no, yeah. I think it was like a Friday night or something, and I said, "Oh, can I have a lift up to the Grove?" And yeah. Well, he said, "You can." But the car's got it's got no MOT, and the passenger door won't close, right? So you have to hold the passenger door, and he had all these branches and trees.
He had the seats down in the back and everything.
So I don't know what he was doing. He was doing some. Something.
So he cut the conifers down and like he's in
the
garden.
They were all in the back. He thought, I'll fill it up and then go to tip in the morning.
It was dark.
So anyway, he gave his left and then he stopped at the shops down at the bottom. And the police were there. There was a policeman there. And he was like, oh shit, right. They might clock or whatever shit. And they sped off, right? Right. And I thought, oh, what's he doing here? Right. And I thought, He just like totally suspicious.
He looked really dodgy.
Yeah. So the police went, woo, right, followed him, and he thought, and he was like, asking me why he was driving. He's going, oh, I'll have to get rid of him. Right? And he went round the corner, and you know where, honestly, I swear to you, this, I don't know if you know this. He pulled up outside the house you live in right now on
that's mental.
Across the road, where I live. Islands. And he thought, oh, you know, they tell him to pull over.
Yeah.
So I'm holding this door, the passenger door. If I let go of the door, it just open. It couldn't lock. It couldn't lock too. So he was like, to me, hold the door. Like and he's like, oh, you're off.
Sounds like
right.
A Game of Thrones.
Anyway, they did a check on it. And he's like,
PNC.
They did a Police
National Computer Check.
No, it wasn't a breathalyzer.
Where like, they checked like the registration details and all that.
Yeah, it was all that. But in the old days, they gave you a
producer.
Go to the station.
Yeah. So anyway, he was chatting away to him, going, oh yeah. And he's going, right, well, you've got a producer. I've not got any documents on me.
That's beautiful.
What have you got in the back of you? And he's like, oh, I've got them. We're gonna go to the tip in the morning. I'm just giving me a ladder lift up to the road and all this lot and everything. Got away with it.
Yeah, beautiful.
But they gave him a producer, and he had to produce his documents to the police station.
But
I don't know what it was. No, that was the Polo.
The car had no MOT. I don't even know if it was. It might have been insured. I don't know.
Because somebody always told him, if the police pull you over, get out of the car and have a chat.
Don't stay
in the car. Because then you're both eye to eye stood up.
Yeah.
I think in the UK, we tend to get out of the car when we get pulled, don't we?
But
in America, you don't get out of your car. You know what I mean?
But I mean a lot of that though is because at the time,
struggles.
They were skint.
Mom
and dad, they had five kids.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, I think my mum might have been going doing all the nursing exams and all that and everything. She went into midwifery and nursery and all that. But you know, at the time they were skint, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they only had one car, didn't they?
Exactly.
And he used it for everything.
Mm, yeah.
It was basically like a van. As well as
I can remember every
car that dad's got had has become a van.
I remember saying to him, don't drop me off at school in that car. Don't drop me off at school in that car. And if he did do, I'd say, right, stop. I'll get out and I'll get out like well before the school, especially that yellow one. Because it was as bright as them hoodies.
It is. it had a hole in the floor.
One of them did, didn't it?
Yeah, because you could see the road in it when you were looking down like that. It was rusted.
Yeah, while I was driving. Yeah.
The interesting thing about family and construction is how many vans do you see today with Jones and Sons, Smith and Sons?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So it is a
it's a good point. That
it is a popular kind of like route of passage, isn't
Dave,
it?
In series one, we talked about working. We touched on it, and I said we talked about Jacob asked about how do you get into construction, and one of the things we both said was like, well, family. Now, to me, that's how you get into it. That's how you get into construction.
Yeah. That's all you know.
Because that's all I know. I don't know. And it's something we've said in the past, like, actually, if you weren't family in it, how would you get into it?
Can you imagine, like, there's obviously people out there that get into construction that the family's never worked in construction. Yeah. They genuinely don't have an idea of what that world is like at all, do they? No.
But it's all we've known that.
It's all we've known since we've been babies. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right.
Well, Dad got into it because all of his cousins, they were all...
Exactly, like, so he went into it through family.
Joiners, and he said, oh, you haven't got a bricklayer, I'm going to be a bricklayer. He always wanted to be a bricklayer.
It's like now, when one of my nephews, who are older, they go into another industry. Like, two of my nephews have gone into different jobs. And I'm fascinated with what they're doing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
How they get into things.
But because it's not construction.
Yeah, because I'm like, one of my nephews is in sort of transport, and I'm fascinated what he does.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Actually, it's one of them weird sort of quirks in. I don't know if it's. I think maybe the army is a similar thing. Like, if army is in your family, a lot of your family go in the army, don't they?
Yeah.
But if.
It does happen.
I mean, it might be automotive, might be a similar sort of thing as well. I don't know. But I would say the majority of people in construction, the majority have a relation that's got them into construction industry.
I'd say so, yeah.
I would say.
Or an influence of some sort.
Yeah, some kind of
influence. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of some sort. I mean, we had all that sort of, you know, like, you get like the fucking politicians and they're like, you can employ a staff. And you know, you can pay them X amount of wages, and it's the fucking wives,
your family members.
Do you know what I mean? They employ the wives as the secretaries and all that lot. So, and that to me is like
tax-saving thing. Well,
it's the same like Bush Senior, Bush Junior, Boris. Well, his dad, Boris,
you're exactly right. Yeah, politics is probably but so construction. I was going to say it's not as bent as politics, but it might be in certain areas actually.
I think construction's dodgy. The more higher you go.
Yeah, when it's contracts and things like that.
Yeah, people. I think there's a lot.
Do you reckon?
Massively. I mean, not everybody, but I think there's certain people.
No, I think
a lot of it's who you know, innit? And,
absolutely, but you mean to like award, when companies tender for contracts? I mean,
contracts, winning contracts,
a lot higher up,
how you do it, all sorts, it's all going on all sorts.
Have you heard about that, like, is it the HS2? Railway.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Mm. It's cost like $3 billion so far. And it's like
Birmingham,
it's like what's going on there? Is there something deeper going on there with like
well, the Wembley Stadium. What was that? That was
800 million.
Right, the Millennium Stadium.
They always go over, don't they?
No, the Cardiff was 80 million.
And so that was 10 times Wembley.
Wembley was 10 times more.
I heard a story about that. I don't know.
And the Millennium Stadium is brilliant.
This is alleged, look, this story that Wembley had a massive problem when they built it with subsidence, and they had to pour loads of concrete and do all sorts with it.
Really?
Tell anybody?
Yeah,
about.
Or went in somewhere.
That's alleged. That's alleged. But like I said 10 times.
Millennium. Millennium Stadium's amazing. Millennium Stadium's built next to a river. Yeah. So imagine the problems they had.
Yeah,
they building it.
There's a lot of
knocked down in the rebuild, but even then,
there's a lot of money in construction sloshing about, isn't it? And you know when you see these buildings like in Greater Manchester now and they're going up and
a lot of it's foreign investment.
I know, a lot of it is foreign.
People building flats.
A lot of it's from like you know like the Arabs and the Saudi Arabians and the what were the UAE lot, you know, city
billionaires.
They've just bought a load of land at the side of Ancoats, the main road through Ancoats there, aren't
buying
they?
It all apart.
And also, you know, Chinese.
But I mean, look at what they've done for the city of Manchester, though.
Yeah.
You know, they have developed it severely, haven't they?
To be fair,
you know,
we sort of don't
want to go off program too much, sort of discussing about working with family and everything. How have you ever, because we've all worked together as brothers as well.
Mm.
So we've worked together. And I think
We only did it once, though. Well, not exactly once, but on a proper big job. We only did it once.
We did. We worked together. We mentioned this a couple of times last year on the pod about that last job that I worked on, because we were all working together on it. But we have all worked together separately throughout.
Oh, yeah.
How have you found that, working with, like, your brothers, your immediate brothers? Is that
mainly
all?
Mainly okay, really.
Yeah, we have. I mean, if we have a... It's usually a storm in a teacup.
You fuck off. You fuck off.
I remember once, me, Andy, and Mike did a job. One of my friends, he's an avid listener.
Oh, yeah, me and Danny had a row.
Did you lose it? What was the job? Tell us about it.
It was on
a roof. And we were like, where are you?
It was a big listener.
Oh, so Webby was on the Christmas episode.
Yeah, and he loves the show.
Yeah,
loves the show.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
And it
that.
Was so it was on. His gable, and he'd had a load of damp proof problems and all sorts coming in.
Chimney stack.
Because we
were working on a Sunday, that's what it was.
We were working on a Sunday to get it done and get it finished, because the scaffold was up and then there was rain and all sorts. And then I just had a massive argument with both of them.
And did it?
It's fine.
No, do you know who it was who calmed me down? It was my nephew, Harry.
He's laughing.
Yeah.
Was Harry there?
I got the scaffold and he went.
He went,
you three are fucking mental. Right, and as soon as he said that to me, I just went, oof. And I thought, oh, fucking hell. Right, yeah, all right.
What caused it?
He was over capping
grinding
the, capping the top, yeah, top in it.
Yeah, because I said just get some Indian stone.
No, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and it did
work. So you were capping the chimney stack.
It did work. My idea worked.
I think I was right.
So hang on, you were capping the chimney stack. Right. Yeah. You said use Indian stone.
I said use Indian stone and cut it out.
And Mike said what?
Breaking out and punching the pipe, weren't we?
Yeah.
No, I was right.
But.
It's funny.
We did a good job in the end.
I mean, we've all worked at each other's houses. The dynamic is really weird as well, don't you think? That because, like, we've all worked together, the four of us, literally the four of us. Danny's worked with Andy. I've worked with Danny. I've worked with Andy.
You've worked with Dave.
On separate different times of our lives and things.
And with our dad as well.
Done all sorts of jobs.
All different stages.
I can't recall ever having a row with you. We have mentioned this before, but you shouted at me when I nearly went off the edge of that bridge.
Yeah, you nearly killed us both.
In the van. I nearly went off the edge of a bridge, and we did mention that in the Christmas episode.
I remember, I've saved your life, I know that, definitely. We were working on a big house in Hale Barnes with Dad years ago, and me and you were doing this wall over a stairwell up above. I don't know if you remember it.
No, I don't remember
it. We were working off trestles. Can you remember? I
remember the job.
Oh, this was 20-odd years ago. And we were on the trestles, and you fell through this trestle. Can you not remember?
Oh, God,
it?
Trap.
Yeah, and I grabbed you.
Jesus Christ.
You might not have died. You'd have probably broke your leg or smashed might your save skull my life. In. Yeah, and I grabbed hold of you off the
Where did he
trestle.
Grab you? Where did he grab you?
I can't remember.
It sounds a bit odd, this.
Yeah.
You were just lucky I was right next to you. Yeah, that's mental. You'd have gone.
I have a vague memory of
you'd
that.
You'd have gone.
That job in particular, and I'll tell you this story. I remember that job. So we were a bit older then, maybe mid-20s, maybe?
Early to mid-20s.
Yeah. And I can remember the foreman coming up to us sort of saying, do you want to work weekend? It was decent money. So I was like, absolutely, I'll work weekend. No problem. Yeah, 100%. Next, about an hour later, the foreman comes back and says, oh.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up. Even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'm gutted about you not being able to work this weekend, but don't worry about it. So I was like, what are you talking about? What are you going on about? I can't work this weekend. Oh, your dad said that you can't.
Brilliant.
So I was like, no.
The crane, I remember.
No, I can't. So I went over to Dad, I was like, Dad, have you told John, or I can't remember his name, that I can't work this weekend? Because it was like, I can't remember what it was at the time. It might have been like £100 a day. It was good money at the time, if you know what I mean. So he was like, yeah, well, they're having steel fitted this weekend, and there's going to be a crane carrying steel over.
So stay away.
So stay away. Yeah. So I was like, No, 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 fuck that. I need the money. I need the fucking money. I'm working this weekend. We ended up having a row about me working this weekend. But I get it. I get it from his point of view. You know, yeah, I've got four sons. He's like, I want to keep my sons out of danger.
Yeah.
I don't want them getting involved and I don't want them sort of being affected by anything. And then he asked me to come and work with him. He asked me to come and fit a window with him that same weekend, but he couldn't give me any money.
So he got finished the job.
He couldn't pay me any money for it, basically. But he'd asked me to work instead of like where I get money, and I've got little kids at home. You know, you need the money, don't you? Like, give me the fucking money. I need the money. I need the money. You know, gas, like, all that shit. And it's like, I get it now. I do get it. I genuinely do get it.
Oh yeah.
But he's just sort of looking out
for
him.
But
basically, all you want to do as a dad or an uncle or whatever when you've got family work for it is. You ought to see that they're, you know, they can stand on their own two feet and the self-sufficient, you know.
Yeah.
So they get frustrated if you do things wrong because they're like, I want you to do it right, basically.
Yeah.
But then they annoy you because you're always, they're always checking on your work and stuff like that.
It's such a weird dynamic.
It is.
Working with brothers, I think, I found brilliant. That's been amazing.
Because you both sort of bounce off each other, and if you one of you makes a mistake or whatever, you just go, you didn't realise you fucking missed that, don't you?
Yeah, shit, yeah.
And you go, oh shit, yeah, fucking hell, right, we'll sort it out.
Yeah.
But when it's your dad, it sort of annoys you a bit.
Yeah, it's more hierarchical.
It's more hierarchical.
It's
the
old mammals thing.
It's
your dad, it's your boss, isn't it, in a way? It's the old cat and cat up.
Mum has always said, hasn't she? Mum has always used the phrase of us butting heads.
Yeah.
You know, like the rams or whatever.
The old lion. The bulls. The old lion or whatever. They challenge you, don't they?
He still says stuff now. I think, oh, he needs a dust mask or something. I think he was helping him the other day.
But you do.
Well, I'm thinking, 47.
Yeah. He said to us the other day, you put a dust mask on, and we all went, every one of us went, no, he went, put a dust mask on, you don't want to get cancer. And he said,
I don't fucking need to wear one now. It's too late for me.
He did say that.
You can't help it if you're a parent.
No.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm just conscious of time because I think we've only got about 10 minutes left.
I'll say one thing, you know, when I was working with my dad, a good story just about the different places you end up working with him. You know, like you know, all if you when you're in construction you end up working all over
all sorts,
and I was once working with him. We were on these houses. Andy, you were working with us at the time. We were on a job in New Mills on them houses for that. I can't remember the construction firm anyway, but I got a phone call off this bloke, and he says, "Aye, aye, all right, yeah, you're Britleys, aren't you?" Yeah, I said, yeah. We need Britlane gangs. We've got a job in Salford Quays, and it's on the new set of Coronation Street.
I remember
for ITV.
Tell the story, mate.
So we were like, all right, okay, right. So we went down, met them, and all that and everything. And anyway, to cut a long story short, we ended up building quite a lot of the set of the new Coronation Street with my dad, and it's a thing that I always like.
Oh, it's a beautiful memory.
You know,
it's a good memory. I finished on that.
Yeah, you finished that job, didn't you? And then me and my dad went and worked on the new set of Coronation Street on Salford Quays.
Yeah.
So like we ended up building
Rita's cabin on it.
So we did all sorts.
Didn't you do the?
We did the pub. Yeah. We worked on my dad works on a lot of the, you know, the Rover's Returns and the new terraced houses and
well, that'll be there for years to come.
Gail Tilsley's house, is it? And I mean, I don't watch it now, do you?
Double glazing Gail.
Watch the soaps now.
Them glasses are thick, aren't they, on Gail?
Underworld. I built a load of Underworld.
Oh, the Knicker Factory.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised you were on that.
Yeah, Underworld.
What's the other street? Is it Rosamond Street, the other street?
Yeah, we did also Roy's Rolls, is it?
Roy's Rolls. Still in it?
The Archers. I ended up doing some of the, you know, building some of the Archers over the railway.
Because
they
have to build it differently because of the shape, the camera angles.
What it was, because of the new HD cameras, is it?
The wider arm.
The old set wasn't, it was picking up too much, like...
Shit.
Yeah, shit on, so they had to do a brand new set. I mean, I think they were going that way anyway.
Yeah.
And then...
That's a good memory, though, isn't it?
We ended up. They took us onto the old set,
to look at it.
Which was in the back of the Museum of Science and Industry.
But like, we had to build, matching of all the colours of the brick and everything.
We had to replicate the back of the Museum of Science and Industry, which is in the centre of Manchester.
Yeah, because it's in the foreshop.
Because the back of the old Coronation Street set was at the back of the Mozzie.
Yeah.
So me and my dad, we did a load of the bull's nose brick.
Yeah, the old blue ones. Staffordshire Blues.
The old Staffordshire Blue brick.
Years ago.
And we built a load of the arches and everything.
Do you ever catch yourself watching an episode thinking,
oh, I laid that brick.
I built that.
I really bore people with it.
Yeah.
Actually, just to say, because
it's a good little story though.
I finished working with Mike and Dad then, but it's nothing to do with Mike and Dad. It's because the job we were on, because it was in the height of the recession, it was that bad. And the guy we worked for him for about a couple of weeks. He was a right character.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But when we got paid off him, I thought we'd done him. He's one of those guys.
Oh, really?
And I thought, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, just because we got paid.
He's notorious for, like, ripping people off.
Yeah.
And it was the last week.
The last wage.
Because we were going on holiday and said, oh, we'll come back. Because you didn't go back, did you? You didn't.
Yeah. No.
But we got paid for the work that we did. But I felt that, oh, we've done him. But we'd got paid.
Yeah.
Oh, we've done his get the work.
Well, that's how they make you feel sometimes.
I know, but I thought, I can't do this. I can't work onto these sites anymore.
Yeah, I get that. Totally get that. And
that's why I finished then.
And it is still the Wild West. Even today, it is still the Wild West.
He's notorious for
if somebody doesn't want to pay you for the work you've done, they'll look you square in the eye and say, I'm not paying you.
He had a go at you. He phoned you up saying, I thought you were coming back.
Yeah, and we went from there, and we ended up at Coronation Street.
I think he was annoyed that he paid you the proper wage. That's what
So just kind of, we've still got a few minutes to go, so we're all right. We're out for time, but I just want to, Danny, what have you got in your hand there?
Well, it's the only tools plumbers need now.
Oh, contentious.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, they don't. It's an easy.
So for people that are listening, just describe it. Danny, we're gonna get plumbers shout at us now.
Look.
What have you got in your hand for people that are listening as well?
Right, so this is for
pipe cutter.
Pipe cutter for plastic pipe. Yeah. Right, it's great. It's great. I think though, when they designed it, they got it from Cuban cigars.
Yeah. Like the cigar clipper.
Plumbers now, these days, they don't need a tape measure, they don't need soldering kits, they don't need to know anything, they just need to do this. And then with these, if they're using copper, everything's push fit.
Everything.
It's an easy trade.
Oh. Clip this. Plumbers, please feel free to comment. If we clip this.
This is what plumbers do now and get shitloads of
We are intending on having a plumber on the show this season. So you're going to have to probably maybe have a fight
with him. So to confirm.
Last year it was site managers, this year it's plumbers.
Can I just ask you a question before Mike? Would that cut your finger off if you put your finger in that? And don't put your finger in it. No, don't, Danny, don't. But would it cut your finger? Don't put it on the bloody podcast, on the microphone wire.
If you put excessive force, I don't know if it would. I don't know. It might cut your old...
Danny,
just to confirm, which trade do you think is the easiest trade?
Plumbing. Fact.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Plumbing. Okay. Easy.
I don't know.
What about, does that include like being a gas...
It depends what you define as easy.
Are you talking about gas here as well? Are you talking
gas as well as...
I'm just going to say,
in kitchen,
cutting pipes and pushing them together is simple.
Yeah, I agree.
Dan, you also brought this in. Just shows what this is.
So this is the Assassin's briefcase.
So this is like a James Bond type.
So this is great.
This is Danny trying to review some tools now.
Nice bit of work.
I don't know if the camera can catch that. Look at that. I mean, that is beautiful.
That could be something like Jack the Ripper.
That is Jack the Ripper, James Bond.
I've got to order some of these for work.
Yeah.
Now then, could a tradesperson keep that in that sort of state?
No.
After
it depends on the trade. You know, like if it was a plumber.
A lot of trades would use that though, wouldn't they?
They'd use a couple of bits. Joiners, carpenters, they'd use a lot of this. Sparkies, to be fair. Sparkies. Kitchen fitters would use these a lot for coring out in like kitchen places, for like waste pipes. Auger bits on here. These are great. Auger bits are great, but when you're using them on doors, they tend to be a bit aggressive. I'd always use a speed bit on doors, you're a bit more controlled. I when I was taught, the joiner I worked with, he always used auger bits, and they chew in too much.
Yeah.
Too much power into a door. Better on a hardwood door. Probably better metal bits. It's a good bit of kit.
Fucking QVC.
Nice.
QVC.
Nice.
But yeah,
at your local retailers.
But you know,
I mean, we're not getting sponsored by anyone from Tools yet, so we're not selling stuff on Tools. No. However,
the lovely people from Vault PPE
missing out, aren't they? They're missing out.
Vault PPE have sent us some things,
yeah, which we are going to do a TikTok add on as well. They've sent us now. I need to get this wording correct.
So they have sent us stretch quarter zip work hoodie.
Do like
nice,
that.
Isn't it?
$49.99.
Oh, that is.
The link will be in the bio.
That is nice.
It's nice, isn't it? Pass it around. You'll also get a 5% nice discount if you put the site cabin in as a discount code. That's from Vault PPE. And Danny, do you want to open these?
I could try that out.
Oh, that is nice.
I could try that out on site.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tell you what, you could go out in that.
Nice that.
Oh, it's stretchy, isn't it?
Stretchy as well, yeah. And Danny's about to get the matching.
I'll tell you what,
get them out, Dan. So these are the super stretchy detachable holster work trousers.
Oh, they are.
They are nice.
Oh, no, they're good.
Look at them bad boys. They're $72.99. Links will be in our bio as well. And guess what else they do? Did they turn into shorts? I think they might do.
Oh, don't tell me. Nice,
oh, they do. They turn into
shorts. They've got a zip on it. Yeah.
Do we have to give these away?
Well, nice, we could give them away. We can keep them if you want to keep them. We'll give them away. We'll do a giveaway first time round. But
Christmas presents.
Yeah, Christmas presents, exactly. But the links for these will be in our bio if you want to buy them.
Do you know what? These are excellent. Actually.
They're good, aren't they? Good work,
these
aren't they?
These are excellent. Yeah.
We might do a couple of ads on... Well, we will be doing a couple of ads on TikTok.
I like
them. But that's the lovely people at Vault PPE. What trade would wear them? I mean, any trade, but blue, traditionally, would be...
Yeah, I mean... Let's have it right. I mean, bricklayers usually wear like jeans and stuff like that, don't they?
Yeah, but there's a lot of trades like that would wear them, Mike.
Like, I mean,
decent gear in it now.
Yeah, like that.
I've got joiners,
electricians, plumbers, something like that.
We've actually got the matching t-shirt to go with it as well.
Yeah, look, the plumbers can put their only tools they need in the pants.
Oh, you're going to get some comments for that.
I don't think the
tiles. Tylers, plumbers.
Oh, we're not talked about tilers.
Oh, yeah, we're not mentioned tilers. You do need to mention tilers.
That's the trade.
Just very quickly, because we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, we've had a couple of comments. I bumped into somebody about a week ago.
You got recognised.
I got recognised, and they were a huge fan of the podcast. They loved it. Loved it. And they said to me, dead straight to my face, he went, "Love the podcast. You never talk about tiling." And I went, "Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Yeah, right." So we're going to get a Tyler on the podcast.
We're going to get a Tyler. Well, we kind of have.
No, you're not a Tyler. You do tiling, but you're not a Tyler.
I can tile.
I can't. I'm terrible at tiling.
I'm all right.
Kitchen panels.
As long as I've got my spacers.
I love metro.
I'm awful at tiling, and I genuinely believe that tiling is a genuine trade. It's to do it, skill.
No, yeah.
It's a trade.
No,
it's a trade.
It's a skill and an art. Yeah. It's an art form.
Yeah.
It is.
To do it really properly.
I've tiled my kitchen and all my fireplace stuff. Pushing
pipes together.
Oh, Danny, you're going to get plumbers round at your house.
It's finicky.
Setting fire to your house.
You can fucking fix my fucking kitchen ceiling. Leaking.
I think certain trades sort of can cross over. Like, so obviously I'm a bricklayer. So you have to be a bit like particular and finicky.
Tiling.
Yeah, it's sort of a similar thing.
I'm a rough tiler.
But you,
I'm terrible.
Get it down.
Just get it on.
Get it
on. And like, you know, if you block paving and
all
these different things. Yeah.
Transferable skills.
Transferable, exactly, yeah. Dave.
Setting out. I think tiling's a real missed art. Domestic customers, they go like they do for handles.
Find yourself a good tile.
They go mental for tiles. They spend loads of money on it.
So shout out to the tilers that recognise Danny. We will be inviting them on. We will be inviting a guest,
Tyler Durden.
Tyler guest on, a Tyler tradesperson on.
Love the Tylers.
Love the Tylers. So I just want to say, time's up, really. And, you know, thank you for coming today, guys. I'll give you all a last chance to say something if you want to. But, Mike, any last comments?
Enjoyed it. I'll say, hopefully my dad can...
Respond well to keep it at bay for now.
Yeah. That's all we can help.
Yeah, exactly.
We know it's terminal.
Bit of an ode to dad, this podcast, but also working with family. Yeah. I've really enjoyed doing it with you guys. Andy, anything you want to just sort of...
I had two pints of Guinness before I came in, and I should have kept it a bit easier than that.
Yeah, I think it was good. No, I think it was all right. Danny?
Danny, he should have had another, Andy.
You never quite know what Danny's going to say.
Just, you know, sort your pipe work out.
Sort your pipe work out.
Kitchen's fucking full of water.
He's not happy. Oh, he's pissed off at plumbers. Go on, Andy.
I'm working with a spindle mould and it's brilliant machine.
Yeah. Right, well, save it for the next pod, maybe.
It's wood machinist.
Oh, that's amazing.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. We really hope Mike and Andy will make another appearance, or two, or even three. Who knows? We've got to mention the new sign. Yeah. We've got a new sign. The reason why we've got a new sign is because the inquiries at Psych Cabin podcast email is now void. Danny, it took you 10 episodes to learn it. Unfortunately, we've had to get rid of it. Because
get a bit of yellow tip.
If you want to contact us on the pod, best place to contact us is on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We'll respond on the inboxes. We do have an email. That's in our bio as well. We have an email. If you go to our bio on either YouTube or on TikTok, you can find everything out on our link tree. Way to contact us. We will be doing a giveaway on our TikTok live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next month. We're back, season two. Really enjoyed it today, guys. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next month. Goodbye.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.